Hello, everyone. If everyone could find their seats, we'll get started here in a minute. Before we get too far, we'd like to start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody please stand. And leading us in the pledge tonight is Mario Villegas, VFW District 6 Commander for the state of Arizona.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mario, appreciate that. My name is Mark Marin, publisher of the Arizona Silver Belt. I'd like to thank also Ellen Kretsch from the Globe Miami Chamber of Commerce. This is a joint effort between the Silver Belt and the Chamber of Commerce, so thank you, Ellen. I have a few elected officials here that we'd like to introduce. Recently from Globe, we have El Gameros, Freddie Rios, and Charlene Giles. I believe they're going to be in, take office on November 15th. So welcome to the three of you. Thank you for being here. We also have County Treasurer Debbie Savage, who is running unopposed. And thank you especially to the candidates who are here before you. We'll have four supervisor candidates after this. And thank you to Carl and Rebecca Williams from Dream Manor Inn for donating the use of this beautiful facility for this event. Thank you, Carl and Rebecca, appreciate it. I would like you to know that this is being recorded. John Cornell from the radio station and also myself from the newspaper, we're gonna be recording it to report on it. With no further ado, I'd like to introduce our timers as well, Mickey Nye and Francine Gregovich-Benton. Thank you for being here. Our first two candidates tonight are Adam Shepard and Daryl Stubbs. Running for Gila County Sheriff. I'd like to apologize to Adam. It was brought to my attention that in the article in the newspaper, I've been listing him as a Democrat. My fault. You're a Republican. Daryl is running as an independent, so I apologize for Adam.
Apologize for running as an independent?
I apologize for Adam. To Adam. So let's get started here. Candidates will each have up to 3 minutes for their opening statements. Mickey and Francine will be your timers here. When you're down to 15 seconds, Francine will hold up a fancy yellow sign there. And then if you're still going at the time, I'll intercede. When we move on to the questions, they will be 90 seconds, up to 90 seconds, a minute and a half. And same deal, Francine will give you guys a 15 second warning. Our opening statement, we'll first go with Adam Shepard, and then going on to Daryl. So Adam, up to 3 minutes. Thank you.
Okay, well, good evening, everybody. I'd like to thank the chamber and the paper for putting this on tonight, and especially thank everybody for coming, finding out about your candidates so you can make a informed decision about who you're going to pick for the next 4 years. My name is Adam Shepard. I've been your sheriff for the last 4 years. Instead of trying to buzz through my qualifications in just those 3 minutes, I've got my pamphlet there in the back of the room. If anybody would like to know more about my qualifications and background, there's a lot more detailed information there. And there's a way of getting a hold of me. And we can talk about, of course, anything that you would like to. But, so what I wanted to save the time for was to tell you what we've been doing for the last 4 years. I can tell you that the biggest effort that we have been doing is to professionalize and modernize the office. And many of the people that are responsible for that effort, I can tell you, are in this room tonight. one of the biggest things that we've made some advances on, of course, and something that many of you know about because it's in the paper quite a bit, is our drug enforcement. Just a couple of weeks ago, we even just reorganized that entire division to make it more effective. We've kept our officers in the schools. The main thing there, of course, is to keep our children secure and safe at the schools, but also they are able to give law enforcement related education to the children, and hopefully we can catch them at that stage before they grow up and be folks that populate our jails. That's why we feel that's so important. Another thing, I hope those of you that have Facebook and those types of things are on our page, because and we think it's getting better and better all the time. We're working on it a lot, about all of the updates that you can get almost live as it's going on, about road closures, about incidents where there's police involvement and the like. Those are broadcast over our Facebook page. I hope you're taking advantage of that if you have that capability, because it's getting to be a pretty neat deal. If you haven't already, on the county's website under Sheriff, the annual reports that we've put out every year that we've been out, to try and give you an idea of what the Sheriff's Office does with the money that you send us, and what kind of caseload that we have, and the kind of activity that we put out there. You can even look from year to year and see how things change. But the biggest thing that we've been working on, and we've got 15 seconds, is developing our employees. Because we could be the best at our job, and if you get an employee that's having a bad day or that hasn't been trained properly, and I'm stopping.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
Daryl?
Great. I'm Daryl Stubbs. A lot of you know me. I don't think there's too many people here that don't. My wife's in the back over here somewhere. I have 4 children, 8 grandchildren, 3 stepchildren, but I'm one of the unfortunate ones that lost 2 of my children. One was a firefighter.
Does he have a microphone?
Suicide. And my youngest son, 7 years ago, was killed in Montana by a guy that was high on drugs. And he ran into my son and pushed my son into an oncoming semi and killed my son instantly. So that's kind of my personal thing. A lot of people know my dad. He's 93 years old. Lives on Golden Hill, and he's still chugging along. I had 27 years in law enforcement. I worked for the county. I worked for Miami PD. I worked for the Tonto Apache Tribe in my career. But I started as a reserve with the Ely County Sheriff's Department as a certified reserve. And as a certified reserve, when an opening came up, I went full time, and I went to Tonto Basin for a period of time, and then I went down to Hayden Winkleman to work. In my career, I've worked as patrol, I worked as a lake deputy in Roosevelt, and was on the dive team. I was a DARE instructor for several years. I was a school resource officer in the Pine Strawberry, Tonto Basin, and Young Schools, and Miami. I also spent several years on the task force doing narcotics, and I primarily worked out of the Payson area, did some work down here. I've worked all over the county. Every part of the county that you can think of, from Pine Strawberry, Christopher Creek, Globe Miami, Hayden Winkleman, Roosevelt, Young, I've worked there on the ground. So I've been in this whole area working with the people in these areas. One of the things that I think is really important is our kids, because our kids are our future. And we need to make sure that we keep them on the straight and narrow with the school resource programs that I worked at. And that needs to help our kids become good, productive citizens. I'm looking at different things that we need to do, and I believe that, as myself, the sheriff, I need to be part of the community, not just have an address somewhere. I've done things as being a 4-H leader, did Civil Air Patrol, numerous different things. I was coach of Little League on the Payson Rodeo Committee and put on the rodeos up there in Payson. Part of the Elks Club here in Globe. Did stuff with the Boys and Girls Club. Along the FOP was the president of Swanis Club and numerous other organizations. So I believe that you need to be involved in your community. and I've done that since I was a young man. Those are important things to me that I think we need to look at. Kind of looking at the job that I'm looking to go for right now, as your sheriff, there's lots of hurdles that need to be gone over. Right now, for this next year, our physical budget...
15 seconds.
And we have $13,798,321 in a budget. With that budget, the problem I see is we have 15 administrative staff that's up there, and we only have 31 deputies to cover.
Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, we have time allotted for seven questions. We'll see how it goes. Maybe we'll do more, maybe less, depending on the length of the answers. Daryl, you'll answer this one first. You do have a microphone. Feel free to use it, just so you know. And we'll alternate answering questions first, so Adam, you'll answer first after this one, etc. Daryl, this is for you first. How are you personally keeping up with changes in police laws, policies, and standards?
Right now, I'm just following what's happening in the community, doing some reading, keeping on what's going on. I haven't gone to any classes due to the fact that I have a full-time job in another business. But it's keeping up with everything. The biggest thing is you can keep up with what's happened today and it's going to change tomorrow. So to stay in the realm, you have to be with it every day to do that as a full-time thing. So those are things that I'm working on. Some of the new changes that are coming out, they're going to be voting on coming up, so things are going to change again. So right now I'm just working on reading articles that are out and looking at that stuff that's happening and the decisions that the people in the state are wanting to make for the law.
Thank you. Adam?
Thank you. The certifying agency for all police officers in the state is called POST, Post Officer Standards and Training. They put out occasional training, and they put it out, of course, where you can go and take this like a class, or you can take it via video. Now, those videos are required for certification, that you you watch them and you kind of take a little quiz on it to make sure that you know all of the changes in the law that's been going on in the last year, whether that's something that the legislature has changed that we need to know about as police officers, or if there have been court decisions that have come out and have changed the way that we have to do the laws. I go to that training every year. I turn that in for my certification as required to keep up to date. So that's mainly how that goes. And of course, taking any other kind of training through the associations that we're involved in that I can get my hands on.
Thank you, Adam. Adam, you'll answer this question first. It seems like most people know who the drug dealers are and where they live. What are you going to do about this?
Well, I think if you've been following some of the stories in the paper on our Facebook page and everything that we try to get out there, you can see what we have been doing about it. We've been very active with our squad. We've been following up on these leads. I think some of the people that have seemed to slip through the cracks for a lot of years have gotten caught, have gotten prosecuted, and got into the system. Like I said on my opening, we just rearranged our entire detective squad to make every single one of them responsible for drug cases, not just individual like burglaries and things like that. It's not like we're not doing that work. It's just that everybody now is going to be a drug specialist going forward. So just about every investigation that we get involved in is going to have the drug aspect looked at. So it's very important to us. It's one of our top things in our administration that we've been working on, and we're going to continue to put every resource that we can towards it. Thank you.
Daryl?
One of the things, there's lots of rules that work on the narcotics task force that we have to go by. And the bad guys don't have to go by any rules. So some of the things we need to do is, if we know somebody's dealing drugs, we all have to meet together to pass on information, do reports, whatever. It's a very simple thing to do, is park across the street from their house, start to put pressure on them, because if they're drug dealers, they're not real smart. So by putting the pressure on them, they're going to make mistakes somewhere, and we're going to be able to catch them. I would personally like to see a lot more things happen that way. This last week I received a call from a lady that was really upset that she asked for officers to patrol up her street for drug activity, and she was told that that couldn't happen unless she filed a report. And she said, "You're kidding." So they come burn down my house. So, you know, I think that we need to look at that people are asking for things, and we need to look at taking care of some of the things they asked for.
Thank you, Daryl. You'll answer this question first. Who is the top law enforcement agent in Gila County, and what are his duties?
Right now, the top law enforcement agency officer is Adam right there. For the Constitution, the sheriff is the number one law enforcement officer in the county, and it is his responsibility to take care of all the people in the county. It doesn't matter where you live, what nationality you are, or political preference. It's your job to take care of everything. You're also supposed to take care of the jails. You're also supposed to take care of search and rescue. You're supposed to take care of the civil things. So those are things you do, and you also deal with the stuff that goes on with the courts. But as people don't realize, there's more power sitting up here at these two tables than they realize, because the sheriff is the supreme law enforcement officer given to you by the Constitution. And so, and a lot of people think different agencies can come in and do things in your county, but if the sheriff requires them that they can't do it, he's the man, he's the one that holds the purse strings.
Adam? Well, thanks, Daryl, for putting the fine edge on it. Of course, we all know that our state constitution sets up state officers, and that's where the office of sheriff is established. And then, of course, we have an entire set of laws under the revised statutes, chapter 11, that tells us what we can and cannot do, as Daryl said. Now, there's something that is going on in this country right now that I think everybody in it needs to pay particular attention to. One of the things that I hope you have noticed, especially probably by the impetus for putting that question together, was that the only law enforcement officer that you, direct law enforcement officer that you vote for, is the sheriff of each county. Now, there are counties across this nation that are trying to change that. And why somebody in the public would want their top law enforcement officer, or their law enforcement officer period, to be appointed by a board rather than being able to put them in office by themselves, I can't hardly imagine that. But it's actually both of our neighbors, one on the east and one on the west, if you can believe it or not, that are trying to change that. So all I can say is, hopefully if that ever comes around here, you keep the office of sheriff because of how important it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. You'll answer this question first. There have been several home break-ins and burglaries that have not been solved and have seen no one arrested. How do you plan to take care of this issue and deal with unsolved burglaries?
Well, we continue to take care of that problem like we always have. Send our officers out, do a good job of gathering the information, and start looking for who it is. Now, of course, it's hard to come up with evidence that directly points at certain people. Now, sometimes you can get neighbors that remember a license plate, description of a vehicle, or description of a person. Sometimes that puts us on the right path. Burglaries typically across the country are, you know, they're not all solved. We solve a pretty good number of them. And of course, this kind of comes back to this drug thing that we've talked about tonight, is because of so much of this stuff deals with the drug culture, because they're stealing something to buy more drugs, or because it's a drug ripoff or something to that effect. And so, that's how come we have to have these people cross-trained in all these different disciplines to be able to recognize when they have that kind of a case, to be able to effectively manage it and get some people put in jail for it. Thank you.
Could you read your question one more time?
Sure.
There have been several home break-ins and burglaries that have not been solved and have not seen anyone arrested. How do you plan to take care of this disturbing issue and deal with unsolved burglaries?
One of the problems we have is we don't have enough deputies on the street. Everybody here, I think, realizes how large this county is. There's 31 deputies to cover this whole county. That's not enough. Also, their training they look at, depending on what it is, and as Adam said, they're looking at training, they're lacking in some training. I received a call the other day of a man that his shop was burglarized. They used his torch to cut things loose, and they took the caps off the welders, and the officers wouldn't take fingerprints because they said they didn't have any suspects. When he sat there and said, it's got to be this gentleman using drugs next door or the one across the street. He said, well, that's your suspect, not mine. So one of the things is we need more deputies out there on the street, and I guess we need some more training in certain areas because there's a lot of things that's not happening. That people have had their houses robbed and they've been able to recover their own stuff and bring it home and still couldn't get anybody arrested. So there's something going wrong with how interviews are being done or something is happening. And then when I worked on the task force, there was a whole spectrum of how you interview people and talk to them to get the right information that you needed. So I believe that we need a few more deputies and some more training. Thank you.
Thank you, Daryl. You'll answer this question first. This will be a two-parter, so we can get both questions in here. They're kind of related, a little bit. Identify your top three priorities, and also what supervisory positions have you held throughout your law enforcement career?
Top three positions, huh?
Priorities.
Oh, priorities.
And what supervisory positions have you held in law enforcement?
Okay, the top three priorities is I want to see more deputies on the street. I want to see them have better training and equipment to go with that training. And most of all, it doesn't matter how many deputies you have out there, they need to have the right frame of mind. So I need to look at doing some attitude changing about what they do when they go out there. These are things. That's my top three. As far as my top positions I've held, I've been a deputy. So that's kind of what I've done most of my life. I worked narcotics, I've done that stuff. I was always a deputy. I didn't promote up, which I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. But so those are the things. I mean, I finished up my career and have three businesses and they're successful. So, you know, I'm doing something a little different there. Thank you.
Adam?
Well, my top three priorities are simple for anybody to find out because I printed on just about everything that I do. And of course, I've already mentioned them at least in some respects. The drug situation that we've got needs to be dealt with, it needs to be continued to be dealt with, and it needs to be hit even harder than we're already hitting it because of so much of the stuff in our communities as far as criminal activity is concerned is connected to that. As I said, it's important for me to keep officers in our schools for a lot of different reasons. I would rather catch them early than catch them late. It seems to me like that's the best use of our limited resources in those cases. Of course, my third priority that you'll always see on my stuff is the outreach that we have started in trying to keep the information outflow of the office and get it into people's hands, get it useful information, things that they can use, and get it into their hands so they can understand what they're getting through their sheriff's office. And of course, transparency. When you contact our office and you need a piece of information, we make it a priority to get it out to you. That's my top three priorities. Supervisory positions that I've been, 15 seconds, worked all the way up from deputy. I was your undersheriff. Through all of the ranks in the sheriff's office. I was the undersheriff for 7 years before I ran for this office in 2012. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. You'll answer this question first. At the forum we had for the primary election, there was a question about the Hillock County Sheriff's Office possibly taking over policing duties in Miami, in place of Miami Police Department. How do you feel about that issue?
So you're going to put me on the spot, are you? Okay. As probably many of you know, we already contract law enforcement services out of one of the municipalities in the north side of the county. When we are able to provide those services for less than those municipalities can do it on their own, of course they tend to want to take a look at what we've got. I really can't talk a lot about the details of the particular deal that you mentioned, because of course there's been no agreements and there's been nothing really but discussions. If that's the way it comes down, if that's what the people want, if that's how we all agree on stuff, I'm fine with it, because we, like I said, we already do it. I'm not going to get my feelings hurt if they don't want to do that, if they want to keep what they've got. It's just, I think it's good, at least for the municipalities and the county, to be able to have an option and to be able to kind of formulate their response to law enforcement that they can afford in the way that they want it to do. So, thank you. Daryl?
I think if we can help any of our smaller towns to stay a town, then it's viable. Because if their police department folds, and they fold their city council, and they fold as a town, as a sheriff, you're still going to take care of all the calls because it's in either county. So smart businesses, if they want to contract you, like you said, when you started out, we already used some contractors, is to take and do that to try and keep that town supported and growing. Because if they don't and they fold, we're still going to do the law enforcement there, and we're not going to get paid for it anymore than just regular tax base that we have. So if they need help and require us to do that or ask us to do that, I think it's something that we should definitely look at to do. Thank you.
Okay, this is our seventh and final question already, if you can believe it or not. Daryl, you answer this question first. This is kind of a very specific question. I'll make it a little bit more general. What are your plans to deal with speeding in Gila County? This card specifically mentions Russell Road and Old Oak as a specific area. But speeding in Gila County, how can we help with that?
Well, I think you need to look at times of day. You need to look at lots of different things. But if speeding's a problem in an area, then we need to address it. I think we need to put together a team and go from area to area to make sure they're safe. One of the big issues is that we have speeding in certain areas like Little Acres. When the kids are out there going to school, we have kids out there waiting for the school bus and cars come flying by. And one of the guys I work with concerned about that. Matter of fact, stayed for yesterday. So it needs to be something we need to address, because we need to slow people down to make sure some of our kids aren't getting run over or something happening even worse than that. So with that being said, I don't think it needs to go just to one area. I think we need to look at the whole countywide. But the biggest thing is to slow people down. Bottom line is slow them down. You know, and there's several ways to do that. One of them is you put it in the newspaper and say, guess what, this week we're doing law enforcement, we're going to do speed control in this area. So the people who get a ticket, they shouldn't be able to drive because they've already been told they're going to be there. And it's going to slow them down in that area. So the bottom line is it slows them down for the protection of our citizens.
Adam?
Well, of course, I get to complain on the Russell Road one all the time. And I also like to bring up that I get the complaints out of Pine, Strawberry, out of just about every community that we serve, Tonneau Basin, all the way down from the north to the south. The only way that we can combat this, and I think, you know, I have to give Daryl credit for this one, he hit on it, the time and date and the times of the day that we can send officers out there and be most effective at trying to deal with that speed. Now, unfortunately, some of those times and dates are the same times during the week, of course, when children are going to school or coming home. And that's when people seem to be most concerned about that. So, of course, it runs us pretty thin. We do send officers out there, write tickets when tickets are appropriate. There's other things that we can do and that we've done in other parts of the county that's kind of helped out a little bit as well. The county has a speed trailer. It's the one that flashes the little number at you. And I think people like to say, you know, that thing can't give you a ticket. Well, it can't, but it kind of helps bring people to their memory that they need to be slowing down in this area because there's some dangerous situations. And we've been pretty effective at doing that. And using both of those techniques, get the speed trailer out there and have some officers out there writing out tickets. So that's about the best way we can handle a situation. Of course, we will continue to do so. Thank you.
Okay, it's time for closing statements. Daryl, you'll go first, up to 3 minutes.
Yeah, running for sheriff because I believe that there's two kinds of people. You're either part of the solution or part of the problem. By running for sheriff, I'm working on being part of the solution. I think we need more deputies out on the street because our tax dollars need to be spent there to protect our people, and I don't think they're getting what they're paying for. That's one of the major things I see that we need to take care of. The thing I think is, do you want a sheriff that has integrity and common sense, that is conservative with your tax dollars, and want more deputies out there on the street? Do you want our sheriff that is approachable 24/7 and is dedicated and loyal to the people of Peter County? If those are the qualities that you want in a sheriff, then come November 8th, you have no choice but to vote for me to be Peter County Sheriff. Daryl Stubbs is your sheriff. Please, help me to help you so we can make a difference. Thank you.
Thank you, Daryl. Adam?
You folks have listened to us here. You've probably read some of our materials on both sides. You know what our priorities are. This is what I'm going to pledge to you, that I will continue those priorities for the next 4 years, that we are going to continue to look for ways to improve our service to the citizens. It's a never-ending job here. That's something that's got to be going on all the time. I don't want people in the public to have to worry about if they're going to get a good deputy or not. I hope those deputies are going to be trained, and I mean, what I say from recruitment to retirement, they're going to be leveled out with the exact same training, the exact same, tell them what our expectations are while they're out there dealing with the public. We're really working to try and bring the agency into the modern era. We've tried to, what we can. There's not a lot of money discretionary spending. By the time you get your budget, there's a lot of money after you've paid for all the salaries and all of those things that you really don't have a lot of control over. We take that little discretionary money that we've got and try to bring the technology level of the office up. It kind of takes care, it doesn't replace officers, but it does kind of help the situation when we're down at least 10 to 15% of our staff since the downturn in the economy. Another one of those things that really isn't anything you can do much about. I still want to modernize, to professionalize this office, continue to do that, and have something that people are proud to work at. And if you give me another 4 years to doing that, that's exactly what I'm going to do, and I'm going to continue with those priorities that we've already discussed. If you want that to happen with your sheriff's office, vote for Adam Shepard for the next 4 years, and we will continue on in the upward march that we've been doing. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Adam and Daryl. Appreciate you both being here, and your informed and respectful answers. I appreciate that. Best of luck to both of you. Let's give the candidates a hand, please.